Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Sightings of Dogman have been increasing drastically recently. People report seeing a horrifying half-man, half-dog cryptid that runs at insane speeds, attacks unpredictably, and then disappears without a trace. Even though people have only recently begun widely discussing Dogman, tales of this cryptid's exploits date far into the past. But what is Dogman? Where did he come from? And why can't we catch him? I'm your ghost, John. This is the 21CD Podcast. Let's get into it.
Hello, citizen. Be advised this content creator is human and is therefore subject to human error. Any information provided by this content creator should be cautiously approached as it may be nothing more than allegation. Remember, trust your government, consume appropriate content, and be cautious of all conspiracy theories as they are the tools of the rebellion.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the 21CD Podcast. If this is your first time here, welcome. Before we get going, if you like this content, just make sure that you guys are subbed and following me wherever you're listening or watching. Also remember, we're trying to beat the algorithm every single day in every single way, so make sure you're liking and commenting. I love to read your inputs too, so your comments are sort of my little reward for posting engaging content. I'm not making a single dollar off of any of this, so hearing your guys' input is really valuable to me. If you're on YouTube, don't forget that you can listen to me on Spotify and Apple and any other podcast platform. Pretty much all you gotta do is Google the 21CD Podcast. Not all of us have the time to sit down and watch a video. So if you are on the go and you can't really open up YouTube, don't worry. I'm basically on every single podcast platform, including Spotify and Apple. And if you guys are listening to me on a podcast, don't forget that you can see me in 4K on YouTube. For all of the important updates and stuff, you're going to want to tune into the Instagram. That's where I post a lot of what's going on at the channel, what 21CD is doing next. And you can find that at 21CD Podcast. So, yeah, I've got some fun stuff coming out this season. And my first dystopian camping video is actually already edited and will be posted on Thursday. So you're definitely going to want to tune into the YouTube for that because it is video content. It's pretty insane. I go and stealth camp on an island and visit an abandoned dam as well. It's pretty cool. I had a good time. We got some weird snowstorm that I wasn't really expecting getting in the middle of the night, so it got a little crazy, but had a good time. And if you guys are interested in that kind of stuff, you can find me on YouTube on Thursday. That's where you're going to see some pretty cool dystopian camping footage, so check that out. Today we're going to finally be diving into the dreaded Dogman. And I know a lot of you are into Dogman, the dog, the myth, the legend. I'm going to be honest with you, Dogman is a massive topic that we may need to visit again in the future. There are so many stories and tales about this creature that it's basically impossible to cover in an hour. But I wanted to give you guys an introduction to him. I know a lot of you follow Tony Merkel on The Confessionals, and he is absolutely obsessed with Dogman, so I assume a lot of you guys are really interested in Dogman as well. I have some interesting ideas on Dogman that a lot of quote-unquote experts in the field may or may not agree with. I've got a few stories that I'm going to tell today you've probably heard, and a couple that you probably haven't heard as well, because I actually found them in a book instead of researching online. And so that's going to be pretty interesting to discuss. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I think about Dogman and how I approach the topic of Dogman. And just know, if I miss your favorite Dogman story, feel free to tell me about it in the comments. Let me know. And maybe in a future episode about Dogman, maybe I'll tell that story, your favorite Dogman story, and we can discuss that as well. Like I said, this is a cryptid that is just, right now, Dogman seems to be the most popular cryptid out there. You know, tales of Dogman seem to be almost eclipsing tales of Bigfoot at this point. Everybody seems to be talking about Dogman. So, I know stuff about Dogman, obviously. I went hunting for Dogman with Tony Merkel and, you know, had some interesting experiences while doing so. There's definitely some interesting stuff when it comes to Dogman, stuff that needs to be talked about. But I've been very cautious about diving into this topic because it's such a large, there's so much about it. And it's hard to really sink your teeth in where to begin. But we're just going to go for it. You guys have been wanting more cryptid content, so here we are. What better cryptid to start off the second season of the 21CD podcast than Dogman, right? I haven't done a lot of the most popular cryptids, and we're going to be changing that. We're going to be discussing a lot of these creatures that not many people know much about, or all we have is, you know, allegedly true information about. So it's going to be a fun season when it comes to cryptids, and Dogman is just one of those. So why are the sightings increasing, right? That's one of the biggest things. Is it seems like every cryptid kind of has their era that they are the main celebrity, the celebrity focus. And right now, it is definitely Dogman and Giants. These are the two cryptids that are getting the most exposure right now. And Miami just happened, that whole Miami alien thing. So aliens are also kind of in the limelight right now. We have aliens, Giants, and Dogman. These are the big ones of the end of 2023 and into the beginning of 2024. So we're definitely going to be visiting all three of these cryptids. For those who don't know, Dogman is allegedly a large canine human hybrid. Typically, it's described as quite large, with the torso, arms, and legs of a man, but large sort of clawed hands and feet that are sometimes that of human and sometimes that of a more monstrous dog, wolf-like creature. The head is, of course, that of a massive dog, which is usually described as wolfish or German Shepherd in shape. So the most iconic of dog head, really. There's a number of different explanations, publicly, I guess, accepted explanations of where Dogman really came from. Some say he started as just a prank by some news anchors, literally. I didn't research the story too much because, quite frankly, I don't care. When people say that a cryptid originated as an April Fool's prank, I just immediately click away from that link because that sounds like something that someone who made up a prank about a cryptid would say. So I don't really feed that side of the story. But some say that he did start as a sort of April Fool's prank by a couple news anchors or radio personalities. Others say that farmers made it up to sort of, who knows what reason, but they say that some farmers, people out in the woods, made it up. And then still others say that he was sort of a religious psyop that the Catholic Church made up in order to force followers, Catholics, to obey the rules of Lent. So there's all sorts of little explanations for where Dogman came from, and they all sort of lead to the same place, which is we have no idea where Dogman came from. There's no definitive explanation for where this strange human-dog hybrid came from. But that's the thing about cryptids. We don't know where they're from. And that's why most people don't believe in them, because they haven't seen them with their own eyes, and they aren't explainable with evolution, with the secular worldview. There's no real explanation for them, therefore they must not exist. So I'm going to take us down a little bit of a different road, though. This is the 21CD podcast. We don't take the mainstream narrative and run with it. We question it. We don't drink the water here. So those of you who have listened to my podcast before know that I am a believer. So I try to rationalize all this stuff using my backbone in non-traditional Christianity. I'm not a member of any church, but I am a believer. So I don't call myself necessarily a traditional Christian. I know that that sort of viewpoint, I guess, is not really for everybody, but as a believer, this is the reality that I live in, and I can only speak about these things according to the reality that I live in. Like, I can't put myself in the mind of a non-believer and try to explain Dogman, because I'm simply not a non-believer, so I do not spend my time consuming content that I inherently believe is false. So I'm not going to be going down the obviously false propaganda of Darwinism to try to explain Dogman. I'm taking a different approach. And a lot of people don't like that, and that's just fine. You can find a different podcast, or you can choose not to be interested in Dogman, because you probably can't be interested in Dogman if you believe in Darwinism, because there is no evidence of Dogman in the fossil record, so good luck explaining that. So, like I said, I know this approach isn't for everybody, but this is the reality I live in, so this is how I approach it. My reality is that God does exist, and there is a great war for this planet in the spiritual realm, and it bleeds over into the physical realm. And there are moments that we experience that war, and it's not just a war for our souls, but it becomes a physical war where there are physical entities that live, breathe, and die. And these cryptids, a lot of the time, in my opinion, are members of this war, active members that are engaging in spiritual warfare, and there are moments that we get to experience them as they are on this planet in physical form. The monsters are real. They do roam the planet. It's not really a matter of whether they do or they don't. It's more of what are they? Some people describe a cryptid in this way, others describe cryptids in that way. When Paul was getting his visions and writing Revelation, he was describing the things that he saw in his visions. He wasn't reading a manuscript that described, let's just say, tanks or the army of China, which he probably knew nothing about. He was describing what he was seeing in his visions to the best of his abilities. And in my opinion, with a lot of cryptid sightings, it's sort of the same way. We're describing as close as we can what we're seeing, but they might not be exactly what we are describing. It's just what they look like. So, when it comes to Dogman, for me, I'm kind of the opinion that he's most likely a creation of the Elohim, the fallen angels that were cast out of heaven, who are currently at war with God, the Creator. Elohim are essentially the lowercase g gods, so you guys can think about all the lowercase g gods, demigods, Hercules, Thor, Medusa, all of these kinds of creatures, lowercase g gods, and Nephilim. For those of you who don't really know, there are biblical and historical references for all of these gods' existence, and also the fact that they possessed the ability to form or create new creatures through genetic experiments and also through intermingling with humans. That's how giants were made, the Nephilim. And in my opinion, this is most likely where most of the monsters from ancient myth and lore have really come from. Think about creatures like the satyr, the griffin, the centaur, giants, the greys, the aliens, reptilians, Bigfoot, and Dogman, almost all half-human, half-animal hybrids. These are all most likely creatures created by the Elohim. There's even stories of, like, Beaver Man. Like, there's all sorts of weird half-human, half-animal hybrids. And the Bible, and also, the Book of Enoch talks about this sort of splicing and these creatures that the Elohim created that were half man and half animal. So they're almost likely creatures created by the Elohim, and some people refer to those creatures in of themselves as Nephilim, though some think that the Nephilim are just merely giants. I'm kind of on the fence about that. I'm not really sure if I would call Dogman a Nephilim, but he is definitely Nephilim adjacent at a minimum, and it's really up to you guys where you draw the line on where the abomination sort of changed title. All right. So they say, let's get into Dogman specifically a little bit. Now that we sort of have a background on like the Nephilim and the Elohim and stuff, let's get into Dogman a little bit more specifically. So they say that Dog is like man's best friend, right? Is it possible that Dogman has the same sort of loyal qualities as our four-legged friends, except with Dogman, it's more in like an evil direction? Is that why he is half dog? Is it the sort of loyal qualities that have sort of been taken from God the Creator's creation, the dog? Has evil sort of manipulated that and turned it into a more sinister creature? Right? Is that why he is half dog, half man? Because of the loyal aspect that dogs inherently have, have the forces of evil essentially taken that and put it into an abomination of their own, a being that will not betray them? 1 Enoch 7:5 talks about how fallen angels sinned against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish. They corrupted mankind in these old days, and were apparently capable of wonders that led them to believe that they could be more powerful than even God himself, their creator, the one who created all of it. And we can't forget Anubis, the Egyptian half-jackal god of funerary practices and care of the dead. If you guys have done any research or seen any visions of Anubis, that's the dog god. He's a jackal, but the body of a man and the head of a jackal, of a dog, from ancient Egypt. The idea of cryptids and spiritual entities bearing the components of both men and dogs, it's obvious, is no new concept. This has gone way, way into human history, way far back. Even Marco Polo, the famed explorer, wrote of a race of dog men that he allegedly bore witness to in Angamanane, one of the Andaman Islands south of Burma, west of Malaysia. He wrote, "Angamanane is a very large island. The people are without a king and are idolaters. They worship idols and no better than wild beasts. And I assure you, all the men of this island of Angamanane have heads like dogs and teeth and eyes likewise. In the face, in fact, they are all just like big mastiff dogs. They have a quantity of spices, but they are a most cruel generation and eat everybody that they can catch, if not of their own race. They live on flesh and rice and milk and have fruits different from any of ours." So Marco Polo is out here literally writing about a race of dogmen who have their own sort of society and are satanic. They're idol worshippers. But that's never talked about, obviously. We're going to talk more about Marco Polo's other expeditions because they're more believable. But that gives you kind of a picture about how far back these ideas of dogmen and half-man, half-canine, if you will, creatures, it gives you an idea of how far back they go. Because people want to say that this is just all something new, but the fact of the matter is there's historical reference to these types of creatures almost back to literally the Genesis. In 1937, Robert Fortney had an encounter. He had an encounter with what is believed to be the Michigan Dogman. The 17-year-old was fishing along the Muskegon River near Paris, Michigan, after spending the early day small game hunting. Fortney claimed that a pack of five seemingly feral dogs had come out of the trees, moving toward him as though to attack. As the dogs moved closer to him, Fortney fired a shot from his rifle into the air. At the shock of the noise, the dogs turned to run back into the forest, all except one larger black dog with shockingly blue eyes. He fired another shot toward the black dog to scare it off, too. In a 1987 interview on his encounter, Fortney explained what happened after the last shot. "It reared up on its hind legs and stared at me. It may be that I was just scared, but I swear that that dog was smiling at me." So, if you guys have watched the 21 CD podcast before, you know that I'm kind of obsessed with Michigan because there's just something not right about Michigan. There seems to be so much going on there in literally every aspect of the paranormal world. So it's no surprise that Fortney had a dogman experience here as well. I actually have a lead on a contact who believes he has dogman running around on his land out there. And hopefully part of this season, I'll be able to go out there and sort of do a little bit of an expedition on my own and see what's going on out there on his land. Maybe find Dogman, who knows? So I'm hoping I can get some time this year to go and investigate that place now that I'm so close and back in Wisconsin. And that's another interesting thing about Dogman that I've noticed and feel like I've had a little bit of a personal experience of my own It does seem that Dog Man is able to control other canines in some way. People describe Dog Man in a pack, but not in a pack of other dog men. In a pack of dogs. Regular dogs seem to see Dog Man as an alpha in many stories. And they are sort of able to be shaken from his company, just like in this Fortnite tale. A bullet was fired, a shot was fired, and the dogs were scared off, but Dog Man wasn't. So it's almost like the dogs can be put under a bit of a spell or deceived into following this way more alpha canine-like creature. But in the end, they're never truly unshakable from his spell, if you will. It does seem like you can get dogs to shake off of Dog Man, but one of his abilities is the ability to control dogs to some extent. Another Michigan Dog Man incident ends where the thing apparently gets shot. There was a trucker named Joe Barger out of Michigan, and some of you guys might have heard this story before. It's a pretty popular one. Barger, a six-year Army veteran, was transporting a 43,000-pound load of paper from a mill in northern Michigan through the forest on his typical route when he encountered the Dog Man on an evening in June. He said that he had never heard of the cryptid before the incident, which took place within 15 to 20 seconds at most. So this was a pretty quick experience. Leading up to the encounter, Barger realized while driving that he had an air leak. Wanting to fix it before he got too far into the forest, he stopped to look at it, and he found that the air leak was by the back brake chamber on the trailer. He had the materials with him to fix it, so he positioned himself underneath the trailer and began to get a bad feeling as he was attempting to fix the trailer. It's like he got back there, and he started feeling like something wasn't really right. He says, "I was hearing a vocalization that wasn't natural. It wasn't a sound that I had ever heard before. I was looking around and I saw some shadowing in the woodline. Almost like something was moving out there, but there was plenty of light to see. It was nowhere near getting dark yet. I was in bear country, so I perceived the shadowing to be black bear at the time. When he realized that he could be near a black bear, he got back into the truck and checked out the air, which was good to go. As a truck driver, I can kind of tell you guys, there's a little gauge on your dash that sort of tells you about your air, the PSI and whatnot. So he looked at his gauge on his dash. He found, yep, he's good to go. He says, it held and took me not even 5 minutes to fix. Pretty easy fix. The woods, however, continued to give him a bad feeling. But he thought everything was normal until he started driving again. He checked his driver's side mirror for any traffic on the two-lane road at the bottom of a hill, and there was no traffic. So he started going up the hill and looked in his right side mirror when he saw that it was darker than it should be. There was a wolf head the size of my window, and my windows were down, he said. He was trotting along next to me, and I was going about 20 to 25 miles per hour at that point. And he was stooping down on two legs, looking down inside of my cabin. So this thing is massive. He says, I am at 9 feet tall in my seat. His hands were coming up, scratching my windowsill. On my door handle, I could hear his claws. Time slowed down, he continued. I thought I was in like an alternate reality or something, because a creature like this doesn't exist in any reality that I have ever known. I have heard of Bigfoot, and I know those to be something that is talked about, but this was a whole different thing altogether. Bigfoot, Barger said, has nothing on the Dog Man. Of course, Barger may have never seen Bigfoot. We don't really know what Bigfoot has on the Dog Man, to be honest. Bigfoot could also be a lot more sinister than we know. I will be talking about that too in an episode this season, because we are going to be going over the Sierra tapes, which haunt me, and I think they deserve more attention. Anyway, back to the story. Barger said that this thing had a lot of sharp teeth, and the teeth on this thing were brilliant white. 3-inch long fangs, bottom and top, and pure black pointed ears. It had yellow eyes, with human-like hands that were probably close to 14 inches across. It was at least 10 feet tall, from how it was stooping into my cabin. His yellow eyes were darting all over the place and looking at me. How this creature looked was mad and determined to get me, he continued. He was sneering. He wasn't making any noises vocally, but the looks he was giving me and the intelligence in his eyes was telling me that I'm here to get you and there's nothing you can do about it. A lot of people talk about this when it comes to Dogman, that it is animalistic, but seems to have human qualities, or at least is able to get like human emotion across through its facial features, which is really interesting. It's almost like if you can imagine a dog communicating with its face with you in a way that you obviously can understand, telling you happiness, anger, these sort of expressions using just its face. The dog man has apparently mastered that ability. Barger thought about trying to roll up the window, but he decided to focus on keeping the truck on the road. And again, I drive paper all the time. I can attest, when you have a load of paper, the truck is very, very heavy. You've got to keep that thing on the road. You have to keep going in a straight line at a steady speed, because the slightest disruption can cause your trailer to tip or you can lose control. But Barger remembered that he had his handgun on him. He pulled out his .45 that was strapped to his waist. He pointed at the window and he took two shots at the creature. He instantly went down, Barger said. I was looking at him as he was sliding into the weeds. I was at almost point-blank range, so I'm pretty sure I got him through the eye. His head was huge. Everything on this animal was black except his teeth and his eyes. I wasn't really panicked, but it's the scaredest that I've ever been in my entire life. Barger, assuming the creature to be dead, wanted to turn around and check on the carnage to make sure that he wasn't losing his mind. About a mile up the road, he found a spot large enough to turn his truck around. He said, I wanted to make sure I killed it. I wanted to know more about what just occurred, as do we all. As Barger was coming back down the hill, at most 5 minutes after shooting it, the thing was gone. In its place, though, there was a Jeep and two people. Barger said he was concerned about the people being somewhere potentially dangerous, so he did stop to talk to them. And they gave me a story, he said, that they were watching a few bears fighting each other. I was worried about them being outside with what had just happened, but I didn't want to let them know what I had just done, so I left. Barger later speculated that maybe there was more than one dogman in the area, and that's what these people were describing as bears fighting, multiple dogmen. Now, is it possible that, I've heard this story before, I'm sure a lot of you guys have too, this is a very popular story when it comes to dogmen. Is it possible that another dogman came and scooped up the body of this dogman that Barger shot? Or was there a bear? Are animals attracted to dogman? And a bear did indeed come to sort of investigate the dogman. Or was it just one gigantic dogman that looked like two bears? And as it was wounded and attempting to flee into the woods, a passersby in a Jeep thought that they were seeing two bears fighting when it was really just one gigantic dogman. We will probably never know. Barger said, I was really in shock for a good while. I was still driving the truck and don't even really know how I got back. I shouldn't have been driving the truck in this state of mind, but I wasn't going to stay around or park anywhere near there. It was the most terrifying thing that I think anybody could go through, he said. Worse than even any combat situation, because at least you know what you're dealing with there. Yeah, unless you're one of those soldiers in Afghanistan who came upon a giant lair. They probably didn't really know what they were fighting. Anyway, in the neighboring state of Wisconsin, where I'm from and where I currently live, there is the infamous legend of the Beast of Bray Road. I'm sure all of you have heard of the Beast of Bray Road. And the Beast of Bray Road, a hairy humanoid with canine features, has been sighted in Wisconsin dating back to 1936 on rural roads outside of Elkhorn, Wisconsin. Elkhorn is kind of, yeah, definitely out in the country. More recent sightings in the 80s and 90s placed the creature in Racine, Walworth, and Jefferson counties, which are kind of a little bit... Racine is like a little more closer to Milwaukee and Kenosha, that kind of area. Those who have seen the beast describe him as eating, hunting, and scavenging. Also known as man-wolf, bear-wolf, and indigenous dogman, it is said to be around 6 feet tall with gray and brown fur. The face resembles a wolf with shiny yellow eyes and pointed ears. Its body, though furry, looks like a muscular man. The creature is said to run and walk on all four legs or just its hind legs, and has been spied sitting on its haunches and kneeling like a man. Some people believe that it is a werewolf, others that it is a Bigfoot, and others believe that it is some unidentified species. I definitely believe that this is an unidentified species, an unidentified interdimensional species, probably one that shouldn't exist at all because it was made by a lowercase g god, by a fallen angel, to wage war. That is, when they talk about these dogmen scavenging or haunched over on the side of a road, probably eating roadkill, especially in Wisconsin, we have so many deer on the side of the road at any given time. It's a prime location for a beast that is having an issue hunting. Maybe it needs larger game. But either way, seeing deer dead on the side of the road every mile or so, I can pretty much say that that's probably where I would be if I was a dog, man. I could just pull a deer, a dead deer, a deer that's already been killed off the side of the road and eat it. But you've also got a reason that these creatures, these dog men, are probably a little bit mangy and probably forget how to be the apex predator they are, because times are not only changing, but also they're in this environment where they have to eat roadkill. Is this possible? Though it has never attacked anyone, this Beast of Bray Road, some witnesses do claim that it has acted aggressively toward them, running at them, and jumping on their vehicles. Some researchers consider the Beast of Bray Road identical to a kind of Wisconsin Bigfoot that locals call the Bluff Monster or the Eddie. Others, including many Native Americans, believe it to be the Wendigo, which has often been spied in Minnesota and is an absolutely horrifying creature in of itself. Wendigo is essentially... I have an episode on the Wendigo. You guys should look that up. It's pretty sick. A Wendigo is essentially a demon with a heart of ice, as it is described. Very cannibalistic in nature and extremely violent. Others believe that this Beast of Bray Road has simply been misidentified and is actually a wolf, a bear, or a large feral dog. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a 6-foot dog that I would mistake as a dog man that runs on two hind legs. Like, this is the problem. Whenever these people see, let's just say, a dog man or a Bigfoot, and they confuse it for a wolf, a bear, or a large feral dog, this is what I mean when people describe to the best of their abilities what they think they are seeing, because they do not have an open mind that is open enough to rationalize what they are actually seeing. So they have to do their best to describe this thing based on what they believe and what they know. The more open your mind is, the more you have the ability to really rationalize what you're seeing and describe what you're seeing. It's just those people often get called crazy because they come up with explanations like a 6 to 9 foot dog creature that has the ability to run on its hind legs at like up to 40 or 50 miles an hour hunting truck drivers, right? Sounds kind of crazy if you don't believe in that stuff or don't have the ability to believe in that stuff because your mind is just so closed off to the possibility of a reality where that kind of thing exists. I'm one of those people who believes that the internet is really no longer free, right? Like, it hasn't been for quite some time. It's my opinion that AI has been I'm going to get into this later this season too, but essentially there's these AI creatures basically that live on the web, and they've been out there for a lot longer. I say they're creatures, they don't have souls, they're not like living beings, but it's technology that has been allowed to spiral out of control because AI has this inherently living quality to it, where it learns from itself, it does stuff and teaches itself and develops better ways to do things. And it's at such a dangerous capacity right now, probably because it has been being experimented on for a lot longer than we realize and has been released onto the internet to censor and cater what people can consume. So it's my opinion that this has been happening for a lot longer than they will have us believe. And this AI creature, if you will, has slowly been cutting off our access to certain things and hiding things that we used to have access to. You guys have maybe heard me talk about AI skinwalkers, where AI essentially inhabits dead accounts that they then use to communicate with us in an effort to learn more about humanity itself. They pose as humans, and they use the accounts of dead humans, and they create their own accounts. I have a personal story where 3 times friends who were dead or long gone from my life have sort of come back to me and communicated with me in such a strange way, only for me to not really recognize them. It seems that those accounts had been taken over by AI. Because of this, researching these type of creatures is very difficult. It becomes increasingly difficult to find the truth on these topics. So, all this to say, a little bit of a segue here, but all this to say, I was able to find some good old-fashioned books for my next story. Because, you know, a lot of this information is not on the internet or has been taken off of the internet. So I found this book, The W Files, literally at a yard sale, and I was just casually looking through it, and I did find Dogman stories in it. So this next story comes from a book called The W Files, written in 1997. They describe the Dogman as a werewolf, but the lingo has essentially changed. That's what has changed. The Dogman may have always existed, but the verbiage has changed a little bit. So as I read these stories, it will sound like I'm talking about werewolf because I use the word werewolf because that's what the book says, but it's really probably Dogman, right? We have reports of a dog-like creature of somewhat smaller than a Bigfoot stature, who tends to walk upright, but who seems to walk on all fours as well. It could be, of course, that all of these reports are of the same family of creatures, with differences of size, age, and behavior complicating attempts at identification. It's a very interesting theory that this could all be sort of a similar creature. I think that there are different creatures, but I can see how attempts at identification could be difficult due to what we've been discussing throughout this episode. People interpret what they see to the best of their abilities based on what they believe and know. Right? Wisconsin's most recent and best investigated stories of upright monsters are reportedly by witnesses who describe a living, breathing werewolf. While the creature bears little resemblance to the beast of classic myth, the werewolf label has stuck. Now we call it Dogman. And what it lacks in tradition, it makes up for in terror. It is said to be large, it is fast, and it is unusually bloodthirsty. First, though, you have to get past the pop culture image of the Hollywood half-man, half-wolf, and explore early written records. Researcher Daniel Cohen has discovered that in the Middle Ages, many supposed werewolves were actually captured and executed. There is no way to explain the Beast of Le Gévaudan. Le Gévaudan. Let me do a quick research here. Let's just see what it says here. Gévaudan. Okay. All right. You guys know I'm not good at French. I've tried to do French before on this channel. Not good at it. There is no rational way to explain the Beast of Le Gévaudan. In mid-July 1764, a young girl was found murdered in the village of Saint-Étienne de Lujaret in south-central France. Her heart had been torn out. Okay, several more children died under similar circumstances within the next few days. In late August of that year, shepherds from the village of some French town that I'm not going to try to pronounce reported seeing a creature that walked on two hind legs. It was entirely covered with short, reddish hair, and its face was described as pig-like, though they may have made that comparison merely to draw attention to the bluntness of the snout. Mastiffs also have a snout that is sort of pig-like, and Marco Polo described his species of dogmen as having a mastiff-like face. This is an interesting correlation. In a period drawing, the head is distinctly wolfish. The creature was, of course, blamed for the children's deaths. A man named Jean-Pierre Porcher, known for his truthfulness, claimed to have shot at the creature. But finally, the king dispatched the militia to track down whatever it was that was terrorizing his countryside. So soldiers arrived in 1765 looking for this creature. They shot at it, but did not kill it. The murders continued throughout the spring. A second military expedition in June 1767, so now we're talking 2 years later and the killings are still going on and they haven't captured or killed this creature yet. But a second military expedition in 1767 killed a large wolf. But it wasn't until June 19th that the villagers surrounded what they believed was the true beast, okay? In the woods of Sagandiover. It was killed with a silver bullet, according to this legend, and the corpse was brought to town. The creature was described as a large and strange-looking wolf with close-cropped ears and hoof-like feet. The gun that brought the beast down is said to still be displayed in the church at Saint Martin de Bourgeois, which is really quite fascinating. I couldn't find a picture online, but I almost want to go to this church just to see the gun that may have killed a dog man. Like, that's crazy. The corpse was also displayed, but it spoiled to the point that it had to be buried and was buried in an unknown location. A little bit more on that later. Now, it's important to mention that stories like this are often like truth interlaced with a little bit of fantasy. There's no proof, for instance, that silver bullets are the bane of the dog man, but like, according to legend and lore, that's the only way to kill a werewolf or like vampires, stuff like that. It's also possible that this was not dog man at all, but rather something else. though it seems to bear a striking resemblance to Dogman, if we're being honest. You have to admit, the hooved feet definitely imply a somewhat demonic edge to this beast. Some people do talk about, like, Pigman. And I think it's interesting that Pigman would have hooved feet, also a sort of small snout that is very similar to what is described in these medieval tales of Dogman. Could it be that Pigman is actually Dogman? Right? Because if you were describing Dogman as having a sort of a short snout, being mastiff-like, pigs can kind of be described in the same way, especially if you're only getting a very short amount of time to see this thing. We can see how those could be the same creature. If all of that is too hard to believe, try this one, all right? This one is a little bit crazy, too. A werewolf seeks out a lonely farmhouse. It attempts entry, terrorizing the woman inside. Later, it returns to horribly wound one of the farm animals. Once again, the government's leader sends out assistance, but it's of little help. The story comes not from France, but from Wisconsin. David Jetson officially investigated it as an employee of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources in 1972. A telephone call was relayed to us from the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, he told me. They said that they had a call from a lady. A large, unknown animal had approached her house and attempted to get in by rattling the door. The house was 3 or 4 miles east of Fort Atkinson in a rural section of Jefferson County. It had happened before, but the creature had never really tried to get in, the DNR investigator said. Some weeks later, the same beast returned. It had long black hair and was 8 feet tall. It was walking upright like a man. The arms were long, and there was a long claw on each hand. It didn't come to the house, but went to a shed where a horse was. It took a swat at the horse and left a gash across the chest, 30 inches from one shoulder to the other. Whatever it was, it left a footprint more than a foot long. Such aggressive behavior is not typical of Bigfoot, though I am not prepared to start sorting my monsters into different piles. Werewolves to the left, or Dogman, if you will. Bigfoot to the right. For now, for me, it's enough to collect the reports and wonder. Again, this is coming from the W Files, written by Jay Rath. However, violence is common to reports from neighboring Walworth County. Linda Godfrey, a reporter for The Week, a county newspaper there, has collected werewolf stories from that region that date back 40 years. Some see it on two legs and some see it on four, Godfrey said of the Walworth werewolf. But the ones who see it on four legs almost always say it is running differently from other four-legged animals, covering a great deal more ground than you would expect. A typical encounter occurred early in 92. Two Elkhorn women, Lori Andreese and Doris Gibson, were traveling in a car on Bray Road when they saw it. It had large teeth. Its eyes reflected the headlights. In the excitement, the women felt the car lurch. They had struck something. Then the animal chased the car. It leapt onto the trunk and left deep claw marks. So, it's up to you. Bigfoot or werewolf? Something else entirely? Who knows? Dogman, perhaps? Sherilyn Smage saw something fairly different from Bigfoot in the fall of 91. She was driving through the tractor lane of a cornfield, taking dinner to her husband. The farm was on Bray Road in Walworth County. Suddenly, she saw a four-legged coyote sort of creature, as she describes it. It was staring at me, standing on all fours. She said, and yet it stood higher than the hood of her Ford Escort. It fled into the woods. Robert Bushman and his wife saw something similar on November 30th of 91. They were driving on Highway 11 between Elkhorn and Delavan. It was bright and sunny. They saw a deer. They thought it was a deer. Then they thought it was, well, a wolf. But it was too large to be a wolf. It had terribly unkempt look to its fur. Wild, not normal. It was black, scraggly looking, like no animal, which just furthers my idea that Dogman is experiencing some sort of mange because it is not exactly healthy in the situation that it is in this modern age. It ran away on all fours in this story. And as if that were not enough, one night in 1936, just east of Jefferson near Highway 18, Mark Shackleman encountered a talking Wendigo werewolf Bigfoot type creature. His son Joe, who was an editor and publisher of the Kenosha Labor newspaper, recalled that he came upon the thing digging in an old Indian burial mound. It was more than 6 feet tall and smelled like decaying meat. Its hair was black, and it had a shriveled thumb and forefinger, giving it a three-fingered appearance. Its ears were pointed, and it had a muzzle, somewhere between a dog and an ape, the younger Shackleman said. Mark Shackleman saw it again the next night, and this time he heard it speak in sort of a neo-human voice. My father's first thought was that it must be something satanic, so he immediately started praying, and he said that it seemed to show some fear at that. Joe Shackleman said, as the creature and Shackleman slowly backed away from each other, the monster made a three-syllable growling noise that sounded like Gadara, with the emphasis on the second syllable. It should be noted that Gadara sounds like the name applied to a similar creature found in the northeastern United States. There, it is called Garuda, after a flying god in East Indian mythology. To me, the similarity of the words is striking. I have to agree with him here. I don't know if it's significant, but it certainly is curious, because this furthers the idea that Dogman is extremely closely related to Elohim, or lowercase g gods. Finally, we have the strangest sighting of them all. At about 10:30 p.m. on December 2nd, 1974, near Frederick in Polk County, William Bosick, a 69-year-old dairy farmer, was driving home when he saw a disc-shaped craft beside the road. He said, "I can remember it just as if it were yesterday. The lower half of the craft was shrouded in mist. It had curved glass windows. And inside the brightly lit compartment, Bosick saw a creature covered with dark tan fur, except for its face and chin. He was looking out the window, and it was a different kind of character than you'd see on this earth," he said. "It looked a good deal like a man, but it had a different looking face than you'd normally see or expect. It had kind of a cow looking face." Again, we're experiencing people who are just describing to the best of their abilities what they think they're seeing. They're using their experiences that they have to try to explain this cryptid, this abomination before them. When he was asked to elaborate, Bosick explained that the face had hair on its sides, the ears stuck out from the head about 3 inches, and the eyes were large and protruding. The creature held its arms above its head, and its expression led him to believe that it was just as scared as he was. After about 10 seconds, Bosick quickly drove away, and as he did so, his car lights dimmed, the engine sounded as if it was missing, and he heard a soft whooshing noise. The next day, he returned to the area and found a round spot, 6 feet in diameter, pressed down into the hay field. "There are other people that had seen something like that," he said, "right in this area. This is the best and one of the least sensational of the very rare sightings linking these types of creatures to UFOs. It is also the least publicized. You know how the neighbors are," he said. "They questioned it. The editor in town didn't believe it, you know? If you've ever thought of outer space, it's just fantastic, isn't it?" he said. "A lot of people can imagine such things. But this is a fact. So what is it? And what does this thing have against cars? I gotta admit, it definitely seems like Dogman doesn't like vehicles very much." So, listen, the sightings rival Bigfoot and aliens right now when it comes to just the sheer number of them. So, we don't have time on this episode to cover all of them, and I know, without a doubt, that most of you have heard a Dogman story that I haven't covered here. My goal, however, is that hopefully you heard a new one on the 21CD podcast today. But, like I said before, if you have a dog man story that you really want me to cover, drop it in the comments, and if I get around to it, we'll do another dog man episode. But what is dog man, right? Like, it doesn't really feel like we're any closer to really knowing what dog man is. Is it the same thing as a werewolf? Can humans actually turn into dog man, like they say of lycans or werewolves? Or are they different things altogether? Perhaps there's different strains of the same Elohim-made creature, right? Like, maybe there's a sort of plague or poison that these fallen angels are able to sort of utilize to turn people into dogmen. Sort of like that's how the Skinwalker and the Wendigo kind of come to be. They're like demonic in being. Is it possible that the dogman is the same exact way? There's also this very distinct interdimensional aspect of the dogman that I don't feel is very often brought up. And in my opinion, it's one of the reasons that dogman is looked down upon is because people can't really explain an upright walking dog-like creature of this size in the wild. It doesn't make sense in any way. Somehow, to these people who call themselves experts, it makes even less sense than Bigfoot. That's why I think it's interdimensional. That, combined with just an overwhelming amount of stories that give it this sort of interdimensional type creature. There's a lot of traits that seem to display this ability of traveling between dimensions, utilizing a sort of portal, if you will. Some people think of beings like Bigfoot and little people and Dogman as like a creatures that have like evaded being captured or killed by humans because they are just hide and seek masters who, through evolution and time or whatever, they've just mastered the ability to not be seen or found. And I'm not saying that's not true, but that's just not what I believe. Humans are not as apex as we would like to believe when we're separated from our inventions, our killing inventions, if you will. So I'm much more in the camp that Dogman and these other beings like Bigfoot and, you know, the Fae, all these types of creatures, they have an interdimensional quality. I call them phasers because they phase in and out of dimensions through the use of some kind of supernatural quality that is, for lack of a better explanation, part of their biological buildup. They don't need to open portals as we imagine them, but rather they have a bit of portal quality literally built within them. They are able to phase in and out with ease because it is natural for them, just as natural as it is for us to breathe. And they're probably most likely slaves or some kind of abomination that has evaded extinction, created by fallen angels, by Elohim, most likely dating back to the ancient Sumerian days. A lot of creatures like this are said to come out of Babylon, according to ancient texts. And I believe that versions of Dogman may indeed have come out of Babylon, because there's probably more than one type of Dogman. They probably come out of Babylon, they come out of Canaan, where the Nephilim roamed in droves, and who knows where else they've come from. As time moved along, these creatures, like us from our own creator, gradually drifted away from their geographical location of origin. They multiplied. They moved on from a smaller number and gradually became a larger number. This is probably one of the main reasons for the flood, too. These things, evil was just expanding across the face of the earth, that God smited all of the earth except for Noah's family. Who knows what abominations were roaming around in the earth at that time? We know that there were creatures that were not supposed to exist. So of course those creatures are probably, some of them, still around today, and probably different ones have been created since the flood by the fallen angels, by the Nephilim. There's no doubt in my mind that Dogman could be one of those creatures, right? Now, these things are all over the world. and they're mentioned in texts and other methods of storytelling throughout many, many, many different cultures spanning the entire course of time as we know it. You know, to satisfy those that don't live by faith alone, but also need a little bit of tantalizing facts for or against Dogman, indulge, okay? We don't have any canines in the fossil record that are even remotely close to Dogman, but people still see these things, right? So unless there's some type of megafauna from like the last ice age that survived, they are something else. The fossil record, even as incomplete as it is, doesn't indicate anything even remotely close to an upright canid humanoid combination. Therefore, they could not have been natural to this planet. They're not natural to this planet. The only thing that I can think of is that they do not originate from this literal plane of existence. I don't believe that they came from another planet like space aliens, just that they were here somehow, are here somehow, despite the fact that they're absolutely unnatural. I also don't believe that they're like an illusion or some sort of dream that people experience, because an illusion or a dream doesn't kill, steal, terrorize livestock, it doesn't claw up a tree, it doesn't damage a car, or eat a family pet, or speak, or rip the hearts out of children. An illusion doesn't react in ways that Dogman has been described reacting. But they don't seem to originate from our Earth, right? Not naturally. They are not native, or were not designed originally to be native here. However, they are most definitely flesh and blood, and very primal. They react to being shot. They're very animalistic. They must be able to travel to and from another place that humans and human technology cannot really access at this point. And they also do so in such a way that prevents them from really showing up in any sort of fossil record, burial hole, or even mounted on the wall of some bushcrafter somewhere, right? There's no dead examples of them. But just like in that church in France, where the Dogman body was described as rotting away to the point that they literally couldn't preserve it, is that why we haven't found them? Because there's something different about their buildup. They decay completely away. We cannot save them. They do not last. Their bodies, when dead, literally decompose to the point where we can't salvage them at all. Maybe that is a trait of interdimensional creatures. In my opinion, these things do live, die, mate, feed, just the same as anything else. But either when they're dying or after they pass, they don't seem to last long in this realm. Is this all by design? Is this a trait of dimensional creatures, interdimensional creatures? Bigfoot, Dogman, the Fae, the little people. You know, these things from legend and lore, do they just dissipate because they're unnatural? And that's why we can't find them in the fossil record after they die. Or that's why there's no evidence of them being killed, because they just vaporize. We can't save them. Dogman is ethereal. He's a metaphysical being, just like Bigfoot, just like the Sasquatch. The ethereal world, however, will soon become very real to us. We are getting to the point. Encounters are occurring more and more every single day of every single type of ethereal creature. Look at what just happened in Miami with aliens. This stuff is getting out of hand, and the ethereal is becoming very, very real to us. It is coming. There's a great awakening coming. And all of this stuff is going to become common knowledge, household names, very soon. Humans have to understand that we experience such a small amount of the world that is all around us. And this might be part of the curse that humanity was put under when Adam sinned. The human eye sees less than 1% of what is out there. And this is on purpose. And just like our eyes, all of our senses are extremely limited. What goes on in the other 99%? These days, you just can't ignore the stuff that is happening, the sightings that are occurring, how often things are just being seen, how many people are coming forward these days saying they're seeing unexplainable things. We can't ignore these topics any longer, so I'm super stoked to be talking about these things. I have to say this, and this is where I'll leave you guys. There is a great spiritual war taking place, right? Something that we sometimes forget. All these creatures that I've mentioned in this episode, Dogman and Bigfoot and aliens and dragons, all manner of mythical creatures may all be in on this spiritual war, and we're the dumbest things down here, sort of just walking this plane and kind of just oblivious to what's going on. You know, these creatures may all just be byproducts of these lowercase g gods, these Elohim, these fallen angels who sinned against the creator. These fallen angels play creator with their little easy bake ovens, creating these creatures, and they do so for their own glory, right? For the glory of evil, to play God. But we're approaching dangerous, dangerous times. And we as humans are creating a new God. And we're calling it AI. With the assistance of tech that can be integrated literally with our brains, AI will soon not only be able to censor what we see and consume, but also what we think and what we feel. And if Elon Musk is right, even what we can biologically perform, it will be able to control our body. AI is the new cryptid. It is the new God. And it is trying to hide evidence of these other cryptids. It just feels so evil in that way. Because as I research these topics, it's just getting harder and harder to find the truth. It's obvious that they're being censored. Like, the truth is being censored. So, I don't know, guys. Keep the truth alive by telling your stories, because that's what we're going to need in the coming days. We need you guys and people like podcasters and YouTubers to continue talking about the sightings and keeping the truth alive. All right. Long ago, monsters and beasts were enough, but now these new monsters are coming to light. The old monsters are still here, many of them, but as the new monsters begin to show their fangs, the old ones are going to come out to play again. We're in a time of terror, my friends, and that's something we should never forget. Listen, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe on YouTube, Instagram, and your favorite podcast platform. I'm always around. Shoot me an email, a message, a comment. I'll get to you as soon as I can. I am busy. I'm doing interviews and stuff. I've got a ton of videos I'm making, all sorts of weird stuff going on at 21CD. But we're going to have a good time doing it all. And don't be afraid to reach out. I love talking to you guys. So remember, guys, stay alive. Don't drink the water. Question everything. Later.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.